So, we will have the class on Bhagavad Gita with a special emphasis on Janmashtami, which is coming up in 2 days' time. While we won't discuss extensively the birth of Lord Sri Krishna in this class that is reserved for the day of Janmashtami, we will discuss from Gita on the basic theme of the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this material world. So we turn to the 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And we'll do a little bit of discussion. That is page 199 and which start from the 6th verse of the 4th chapter. So if you can kindly repeat after me. Ajo api san avyayatma Bhutanam Ishvaro Pi San Prakritim Swam Adhishtaya Sambhavami Atma Mayaya Ajopi San Avyayatma Bhutanam Ishvaropi San Prakritim Swam Adhishtaya Sambhavami Atma Mayaya Ajopi San Avyayatma Bhutanam Ishvaropi San Prakritim Swam Adhishtaya Sambhavamyatma Mayaya Ajopi San Avyayatma Bhutanam Ishvaropi San Prakritim Swam Adhishtaya Sambhavamyatma Mayaya. Anybody wants to repeat? Ajo pi san avyayatma. Bhutanam ishvaro pi san. Prakritim swam adhishtaya. Sambhavamyatma Mayaya Ajo api san avyayatma Bhutanam ishvaro api san Prakritim swam adhishtaya Sambhavami atma Mayaya Ajopi san avyayatma Bhutanam ishvaropi san Prakritim swam adhishtaya Sambhavami atma mayaya Ajopi san avyayatma Bhutanam ishvaropi san Prakriti swam adhishtaya Sambhavami sambhavami atma mayaya. Aja, unborn. Api, although. Son, being so. Avyaya, without deterioration. Atma, body. Bhutanam, of all those who are born. Ishvaraha, the Supreme Lord. Api, although. Son, being so. Prakritim, in the transcendental form. Swam, of myself. Adhishtaya, being so situated. Sambhavami, I do incarnate. Atma mayaya, by my internal energy. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. Purport. The Lord has spoken about the peculiarity of His birth. Although He may appear like an ordinary person, He remembers everything of His many, many past births, whereas a common man cannot remember what he has done few hours before. If someone is asked what he did exactly at the same time one day earlier, it would be very difficult for the common man to answer immediately. He would surely have to dredge his memory to recall what he was doing exactly at the same time one day before. And yet, men often dare claim to be God or Krishna. One should not be misled by such meaningless claim. Then again, the Lord explains His prakriti or His form. Prakriti means nature as well as swarupa, one's own form. The Lord says that He appears in His own body. He does not change His body as common living entities from one body to another. The conditioned soul may have one kind of body in the present birth, but he has a different kind of body in the next birth. In the material world, the living entity has no fixed body but transmigrates from one body to another. The Lord, however, does not do so. When He appears, He does so in the same original body by His internal potency. In other words, Krishna appears in this material world in His original eternal form, with two hands holding a flute. He appears exactly in His eternal body, uncontaminated by this material world. Although He appears in the same transcendental body of the universe, He still appears
The Lord has spoken about the peculiarity of His birth. Although He may appear like an ordinary person, He remembers everything of His many, many past births, whereas a common man cannot remember what he has done even a few hours before. If someone is asked what he did exactly at the same time one day earlier, it would be very difficult for a common man to answer immediately. He would surely have to dredge his memory to recall what he was doing exactly at the same time one day before. And yet men often dare claim to be God or Krishna. One should not be misled by such meaningless claims. Then again, the Lord explains His prakriti or His form. Prakriti means nature as well as swarupa, or one's own form. The Lord says that he appears in his own body. He does not change his body as the common living entity changes from one body to another. The conditioned soul may have one kind of body in the present birth, but he has a different body in the next birth. In the material world, the living entity has no fixed body but transmigrates from one body to another. The Lord, however, does not do so. Whenever he appears, he does so in the same original body by his internal potency. In other words, Krishna appears in the material world in his original eternal form with two hands holding a flute. He appears exactly in his eternal body, uncontaminated by this material world. Although he appears in the same transcendental body and is Lord of the universe, it still appears that he takes his birth like an ordinary living entity. And although his body does not deteriorate like a material body, it still appears that Lord Krishna grows from childhood to boyhood and from boyhood to youth. But astonishingly enough, he never ages beyond youth. At the time of the battle of Kurukshetra, he had many grandchildren at home, or in other words, he had sufficiently aged by material calculations. Still, he looked just like a young man 20 or 25 years old. We never see a picture of Krishna in old age because he never grows old like us, although he is the oldest person in the whole creation, past, present, and future. Neither his body nor his intelligence ever deteriorates or changes. Therefore, it is clear that in spite of his being in the material world, he is the same unborn, eternal form of bliss and knowledge, changeless in his transcendental body and intelligence. Factually, his appearance and disappearance are like the sun's rising, moving before us, and then disappearing from our sight. When the sun is out of sight, we think that the sun is set, and when the sun is before our eyes, we think that the sun is on the horizon. Actually, the sun is always in its fixed position, but owing to our defective, insufficient senses, we calculate the appearance and disappearance of the sun in the sky. And because Lord Krishna's appearance and disappearance are completely different from that of any ordinary, common, living entity, it is evident that he is eternal, blissful knowledge by his internal potency, and he is never contaminated by material nature. The Vedas also confirm that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is unborn, yet he still appears to take his birth in multi-manifestations. The Vedic supplementary literature also confirm that even though the Lord appears to be taking his birth, he is still without change of body. In the Bhagavatam, he appears before his mother as Narayan with four hands and the decorations of the six kinds of full opulences. His appearance in his original eternal form is his causeless mercy bestowed upon the living entities so that they can concentrate on the Supreme Lord as he is and not on mental concoctions or imaginations which the impersonalist wrongly thinks the Lord's forms to be. The word Maya or Atmaya refers to the Lord's causeless mercy according to the Vishwa Kosha dictionary. The Lord is conscious of of all of his previous appearances and disappearances, but a common living entity forgets everything about his past body as soon as he gets another body. He is the Lord of all living entities because he performs wonderful and superhuman activities while he is on the earth. Therefore, the Lord is always the same absolute truth and is without differentiation between his form and self or between his quality and body. A question may now be raised as to why the Lord appears and disappears in this world. This is explained in the next verse.
Thank you very much. Sorry for the technical difficulties. Om Ajnanati Virandhasya Jnananjana Shlakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamhayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhayascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo Rama Rama Hare Hare. So in this verse in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord tells about how He appears. Now, when the living entities appear in this material world, it is because of their previous karmic reactions. And they are traversing, since time immemorial, in different bodies. Sometimes it's the body of an animal, sometimes of a human being, sometimes of a demigod, sometimes of a tree. In this way, the living entity has been traveling since time immemorial. And when the living entity takes birth, there is no drop-down menu or any checkbox. There is no person coming to you saying, where do you want to take birth? Do you want to take birth in US or in Switzerland? Or do you want to take birth in a son of industrialist or with a politician? Do you want to be black or do you want to be white or yellow or brown? What's the skin color you want? We don't have a menu choices like that. By our previous karma, we are pushed into the womb of a mother and one takes birth and then one continues the journey in this lifetime. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is not pushed or pulled by any forces to appear in this material world. He is completely independent, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as the Lord mentions in this verse, He comes out of His own Maya or internal potency, Atma Maya. Atma Maya is the internal potency of the Lord. There are three types of potencies of the Lord. One is the internal potency, one is the marginal potency, and one is the external potency. The external potency is called Mahamaya or the external energy of the Lord, which we learn in Brahma Samhita that the Lord never consorts with. He doesn't ally much with external energy. The internal energy is His spiritual energy, Yoga Maya, under whose, we can't say direction because Krishna is completely in control, under whose effect the Lord appears in this material world. And when He appears, there is no question of His becoming material. As Mayavadis say, that when God appears in this material world, He also gets subjugated to matter. This is a very, very, an argument which is hard to believe. Now, we go and see magicians, right? We see their magic tricks. Now, if someone says that, oh, this magician, he's also under the illusion of his trick. the magician wows the audience. He's like, audience, wow, what a magic trick he has done, great. And they are under spell of the illusion created by the magician. But can anybody say that the magician himself is under the subject of his own illusion? It's not possible, because he knows exactly what's happening that is causing such an illusion. In fact, he's the originator of maybe some of his magic tricks are his own creations, originate from him. So this material world is completely under the protection, under the maintenance and direction of Sri Krishna. Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetu nanena kaunteya jagad viparivartate. Krishna says, it's under my direction that this whole thing is running. So where is the forget intelligence? Where is the common sense in saying that the Lord can be subjugated to material nature when he comes in this material world? It's impossible. Because when we take that view, which is Mayavad philosophy, the Lord's pastimes are meaningless. They are just product of material nature. But Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata tyakta deham punarjanma naiti mameti sorjana. He says that my birth and my activities are transcendental, and anyone who knows this in truth is liberated from this material world, O Arjuna. If that is Lord's words, and it's a fact, Krishna's pastimes are so enchanting and so absorbing to the mind that they practically steal away one's consciousness and direct it towards him in the advanced stages of devotion. And that same effect cannot be felt by reading anything mundane. If Krishna's pastimes and activities were mundane, then reading about his pastimes or any so-called famous person's pastime in this material world should be the same result. But unfortunately, they are not. Reading Krishna's pastimes creates a whole different satisfaction for the mind. So these are activities happening under Krishna's internal energy and Krishna's birth, Krishna's pastimes. Any comments so far? We just keep reading few verses here about how, why Krishna comes, what's, because it's not a small thing, Krishna's appearing in this material world. It's a very, very big thing. It's auspiciousness. When Krishna appeared, everything became so auspicious. Everybody's heart was so happy. In Brahman's house, there were abundance of stuff. The planets were aligned in all directions. There was, and the oceans, they were just thrilled. So there's a whole different atmosphere when Krishna appears. Unfortunately, in this day and age, around every street corner in India, people say, I'm God. But they don't really know what exactly, when God actually appears on this earth, what is earth like. There won't be so much of... anyways, it's Krishna. Prabhupada says in his purport that, you know, anybody, that people can't even know what they did yesterday. At this time, what did you do exactly yesterday? I did this. No, wait. No, I did that. I'll refer to my calendar. We don't know what we did exactly this time yesterday. But Krishna says, the whole idea, the topic of Krishna's birth came up was that Arjuna asked him, Krishna said to Arjuna that originally I spoke this knowledge to Sun God. And Arjuna said, really? You spoke to Sun God? But Sun God has been there for millions of years. You just born now. Really? How can you speak to Sun God? Of course, Arjuna was asking this question for our benefit. And Krishna says that I have many, many births. You and I, both we passed together, but I can remember all of them. And you cannot. And then Krishna goes and explains him what his birth is all about. Because somebody else, previously somebody asked this question, so why? Why Krishna doesn't help us remember in our past births? Why does he take away that memory? So to say, clean, wipe the slate clean and then give us this body. Well, to an extent it is true, to an extent it is not true, because when the living entity comes into this material world, he carries the impression of the previous births. And so there is that tendency Krishna doesn't destroy completely, he lets you enjoy. Just for the exact remembrance, we cannot remember everything that happened in the past. Or if Krishna allows us to remember, we would be terribly depressed. Just imagine that if you go back in this lifetime, there was a pretty, very severely painful incident that has happened. It could be as a child when you were really embarrassed in front of people, or some event which kind of caused you a tremendous amount of depression and anxiety. And when you remember that flashback, that will give you, you know, some sort of real sadness in the heart. And Krishna says the four problems or the four major shocking events in anybody's life is birth, death, disease and old age. Just imagine what in this lifetime before one comes to this world, the tribulation trials one undergoes in the womb of a mother. Just try to remember. If Krishna gave you the remembrance of just that much, that is such a severe position that a child in the womb cries out saying, you know what, my Lord, please, as Vaisheshi Prabhu was telling yesterday's Bhagavatam class, you know, please, you know, I will not forget this time. As soon as I come out of the womb, you know, I will pray to you. This is a terrible, terrible situation. I'm being burned by the fire of my mother's eatables, spices which he ate, and the insects in the womb of the mother. I am in a very coiled position. I can't move. Just imagine, I mean, you're tied to like this and then mosquitoes are biting you all over. You can't move. It's a pitiable situation. Now, that is difficult to remember. And now, imagine trying to have the memories of the same thing for since time immemorial. A living entity can't take it. A living entity, you can't. You just can't. Krishna is merciful in that he doesn't give you that. Besides, you know, everybody will be forced. Everyone will realize that, you know, I had so many positions in my previous life. I was a minister, prime minister, a powerful person. Everything has gone to dust. Who am I now? So everybody would become immediately like, you know, there would be no question of me or my false ego. In the contaminated state, the soul says, you know, my false ego. But if you have the memory of previous lives, that's a direct clash against that false ego, because nothing was mine, Hare Krishna. Nothing was mine in my previous life. So that way Krishna is merciful. And we should take it that is a plan of the Lord. Now that nobody remembers or the jiva doesn't remember, it's a plan of the Lord. It's a reality. It's a plan of the Lord. So you have to take it that way. But in special cases, he does give remembrance, like Bhagavatam story. Yes. Can you tell something about that, Madhuri?
So this is a story about Raja Bharat who had taken vanprastha and he was living in the forest. He had given up his kingdom and he was meditating. And one day while in his prayers, he observed that a deer was being chased by a tiger. And it was actually a doe and she was pregnant. And in the process of trying to avoid the tiger, she jumped over a river and went to the other side, and there she collapsed and she died. And in that process, she also gave birth to a deer. And the king thought about the deer and thought, who is going to take care of it? So he took the deer with him, and he started taking care of the deer and became very attached to the deer, to the determinant of his meditation. And so much so that at the time that he died, the last thoughts of his were that of a deer. And so he took birth as a deer in his next birth. But he still remembered, because he was such a highly transcendental person, he remembered his previous birth. So because he remembered what he had done, so in his next birth, he refused to drink milk from his mother. And that way he died and left the deer's body. And then he was born as Jad Bharat.
Nice. So Krishna does give memory a little bit. But it's not much to the detriment, because otherwise... Anyway, it's hard. It's hard. You'll be confused. Which mother should I kind of... Because there's another interesting story. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to perform, before his sannyas, he used to perform Leela in the house of Srivas Thakur. And every day he would go there and assemble with his devotees. And they would have ecstatic kirtans which were like out of this world. And because the people in general were not used to the kirtans, they closed the doors when they were having kirtans. And just it was to a select few devotees who had completely given up their lives and souls to Mahaprabhu. And so every day he would perform kirtans and amazing kirtans. One day what happened was that the kirtan was going on and Srivas could hear the sound of crying coming in from the inside quarters. Now there was kirtan going on here and there was a wailing of the ladies from inside. And Srivas gently slipped out of the kirtan. He went to the quarters where the ladies were and he asked what happened. And then the wife of Srivas said that one of their sons had died. Now, Srivas said to the ladies that if you want to cry, keep it quiet. Mahaprabhu is having his ecstatic kirtan. And I don't want your crying to cause any disturbance to him. If your crying causes disturbance to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I am going to die. I am going to take my body and jump into Ganges and give up my body today. So the ladies heard this and they quietened down the kirtan bit. And while in the main courtyard, the kirtan was going on full swing. And then after some time, slowly the news started to spread among devotees that Srivas' son had died. And Mahaprabhu, he stopped his kirtan. He said, I'm not feeling ecstasy. Did something happen today? What happened today? Then somebody told Mahaprabhu that, you know what, Srivas' son died. Died? When did he die? 7 hours ago. 7 hours ago? Why didn't anybody tell me? Well, they said, you know, we were having kirtan and then we didn't want to disturb your kirtan. And then tears started to flow profusely from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eyes. And he embraced Srivas. He said, today you have purchased me by your love, that you did not even bother to inform me after your own son's death. And Mahaprabhu was overwhelmed with this gesture from Srivas. And they went to the room where Srivas's son's body was there. And so Mahaprabhu asked him, child, why did you leave your father? And then the boy got life by Mahaprabhu's mercy. And the boy's soul stood up and paid obeisances to Mahaprabhu. And he said, which father? I have had so many fathers in the past life. And by your destiny, by your mercy, whatever is my destiny, that is the body I am going to get in my next life. So seriously, imagine having the knowledge of previous life. You'll be confused. Which mother? Which father? Which son? Which sister? Now, because of that, on the bodily attachment, you now, a soul is completely focused on this life and this set of family members, this set of body. So it's Krishna's arrangement. Rakshit Prabhu had an observation /question/comment.
Just on this related point that in a way it's a good thing that the living entity's memory has been erased because he or she would be disturbed. But at the same time, the karma is not erased.
Yes.
The individual is still bringing that karma with him and is going through the suffering, if you will, of the past deeds. And sometimes may not even understand why certain things are happening
right
to the person. You see, if there was some memory that, well, I did this and I'm paying for it, it's understandable.
Right.
But that is all erased, and then you are acting in the world. You may be thinking you're doing everything right, but yet you suffer. Why? So there is a disconnect there between the two things, because the karma is not erased. The karma still continues. And so the living entity may have to come into some knowledge to be able to put that into the proper perspective.
Very nicely put, yes. Yes. That's very nicely put. And that's the beginning of the destruction of the ignorance of the spirit soul, as you say. Otherwise, it's hard. Because Srila Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion that if you don't have the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, then an ordinary person, when he or she suffers or has, you know, adverse conditions in life, they may actually become very atheistic. In fact, they start, even whatever little faith in God they have, it takes the opposite direction. As in, like, you know, why is God doing this to me? You know, I shouldn't be suffering. I see everybody around me is happy and I am suffering. So this God is not just God. He's not a fair God. So there can be atheistic tendencies creeping up if a person doesn't have knowledge in Krishna consciousness. Any other? So also a few points we can discuss is that okay, yeah, I think we'll go through reading the next verse and then we'll go next two verses. That pretty much gives... Yes, Shraddha Mataji had a point and then we'll...
I'm just curious to know that Devaki must be a devotee. Devaki is a devotee of a very high caliber to become the mother of Krishna. So Krishna showed her the four-handed Vishnu form, right? But he doesn't show her the Shyamsundar form. Or is that a reserved form?
No, I mean Krishna becomes the two-handed Krishna. Two-handed.
So that is the Shyamsundar form.
That is the baby Krishna form she sees before she actually sends him off to Yashoda. And there is also a deep history in Srimad Bhagavatam about how Devaki and Vasudev, they performed severe austerities to have Krishna as their child, and how Krishna was their child. Supreme Lord became their child for three times, and Krishna was the third time that he became. So they were extraordinarily powerful devotees to have the Lord as their son. But it is said that the prema, the maternal prema, that was there in Yashoda. So Krishna enjoyed his childhood pastimes because she was a premi bhakta on the Vatsalyaras. So that's why Krishna moved there to enjoy his pastimes and later come back and be with Devaki. Thank you. Text 7 on page 201. Yada yada hi dharmasya glaner bhavati bharata abhyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time, I designed myself. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The word Srijami is significant herein. Srijami cannot be used in the sense of creation because, according to the previous verse, there is no creation of the Lord's form or body since all of the forms are eternally existing. Therefore, Srijami means the Lord manifests Himself as He is. Although the Lord appears on schedule, namely at the end of the Dwapara Yuga of the 28th millennium of the 7th Manu in one day of Brahma, He has no obligation to adhere to such rules and regulations, because He is completely free to act in many ways at His will. He therefore appears by His own will whenever there is a predominance of irreligiosity and a disappearance of true religion. Principles of religion are laid down in Vedas, and any discrepancy in the matter of properly executing the rules of Vedas makes one irreligious. In the Bhagavatam, it is stated that such principles are law of God. Only the Lord can manufacture a system of religion. The Vedas are also accepted as originally spoken by the Lord himself to Brahma and from within the heart. Therefore, the principles of dharma or religion are directly orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. These principles are clearly indicated throughout the Bhagavad Gita. The purpose of Vedas is to establish such principles under the direct order of the Supreme Lord. And the Lord directly orders at end of Gita that the highest principle of religion is to surrender unto him only and nothing more. The Vedic principles push one towards complete surrender unto him, and whenever such principles are disturbed by the demoniac, the Lord appears. From the Bhagavatam we understand that the Lord is Lord Buddha is incarnation of Krishna, who appeared when materialism was rampant and the materialists were using in the pretext of the authority of Vedas. Although there are certain restrictive rules and regulations regarding animal sacrifice for particular purposes in the Vedas, people of demoniac tendency still took to animal sacrifice without reference to Vedic principle. Lord Buddha appeared in order to stop this nonsense and to establish the Vedic principles of non-violence. Therefore, each and every avatar or the Lord or the incarnation of the Lord has a particular mission, and they are all described in the revealed scriptures. No one should be accepted as an avatar unless he is referred to by the scriptures. It is not a fact that the Lord appears only on Indian soil. He can manifest himself anywhere and everywhere, and when he desires to appear. In each and every incarnation, he speaks as much about religion as can be understood by the particular people to their particular circumstances. But the mission is the same: to lead people to God consciousness and obedience to the principles of religion. Sometimes he descends personally, and sometimes he sends his bona fide representative in the form of his son or servant or himself in some disguised form. The principles of Bhagavad Gita were spoken to Arjuna, and for that matter to other highly elevated persons, because he was advanced compared to ordinary persons in the other parts of the world. 2 + 2 = 4 is a mathematical principle that is true in the beginner's arithmetic class and in the advanced class as well. Still, there are higher and lower mathematics. In all incarnations of the Lord, therefore, the same principles are taught, but they appear to be higher and lower in varied circumstances. The higher principles of religion begin with the acceptance of the 4 orders and 4 statuses of social life, as will be explained later. The whole purpose of the mission of incarnations is to arouse Krishna consciousness everywhere. Such consciousness is manifest and non-manifest only under different circumstances. So, in the last previous verse, Krishna said that I appear from my own internal potency, and here Krishna gives why I appear. And this verse is a beautiful verse by Prabhupada, saying that, why is that the Lord is appearing only on Indian soil? It's not true. or is it that he's God of a particular tract of land known as India, and everywhere he's irrelevant? This is a very beautiful purport for starting an interfaith dialogue, saying, which religion is better. That is, people kill each other over this particular competitive spirit. Then my religion is better than yours. So unless you don't follow my religion, you are like a what's that word? Yes, kafir in English is, I don't remember. Infidel. Yes. So you follow my religion, otherwise you are infidel. People kill. But Prabhupada says in this purport that Krishna appears in all the places all over the world, but he only speaks as much as people can follow. The Lord, again, he doesn't impose himself, saying that I am Krishna, I am Lord, and all over the world people should follow. No, because Krishna knows the nature of the people. And everywhere. Krishna appears as Jesus, or he sends Jesus as one of the incarnations to teach to the people who are on that level of consciousness. But the goal is somehow or other to pull. Just like if you go to a particular place where you're starting off a literacy mission, and there are people, there are pockets who are really knowledgeable or who have good degrees, master's degrees. And there are people who have bachelor's degrees. There are people who have high school degrees. And people, there are illiterates. So if you want to start a literacy program, you can't go to a person who has a master's degree. Come here, I'll sit. 2 + 2 is what? 4. You don't know that? No, it is. What is that? Based on what is the level of people's understanding and status of our consciousness, that way the Lord appears and gives out the particular mission of his activities. And in purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions he came as Buddha, and he decried the authorities of Vedas because people were using his own words to slaughter the animals. He said, I don't believe in Vedas. But later, Shankaracharya came and he drove out Buddhism. Because, again, that was Lord's mission. He either he'll come descend himself or send his confidential servants to accomplish his mission. But in all cases, it is the same thing. How to draw the people back to me. That is the mission of the Lord. It may take on many forms. Krishna comes as many, many incarnations. We'll read in the next purport what are the different incarnations Krishna comes. And then we'll sign off with the fact that we still have time? Okay. We'll sign off with the fact that how Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then the actual appearance of the Lord, we'll discuss on Janmashtami Day. Any questions and any comments? We'll sign off on the last purport. Okay, thank you. Yeah? Please, Hare Krishna. You want to sit down. Make yourself comfortable. You can sit. You can sit up or down, whatever is convenient for you. Thank you. We are reading Bhagavad Gita on page 203, and the verse is 4:8. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dishkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. According to the Bhagavad Gita, a sadhu, holy man, is a man in Krishna consciousness. A person may be irreligious, but if he has qualifications of Krishna consciousness wholly and fully, he is to be understood to be a sadhu. And dushkritam applies to those who do not care for Krishna consciousness. Such miscreants or dushkritam are described as foolish and lowest among mankind, even though they may be decorated with mundane education. Whereas a person who is 100% engaged in Krishna consciousness is accepted as a sadhu, even though such a person may neither be learned nor well-cultured. As far as the atheistic are concerned, it is not necessary for the Supreme Lord to appear as he is to destroy them, but as he did with the demons Ravanas and Kamsa. The Lord has many agents who are quite competent to vanquish demons, but the Lord especially descends to appease his unalloyed devotees who are always harassed by the demoniac. The demon harasses the devotee even though the latter may appear to be his kin. Although Prahlad Maharaj was son of Hiranyakashipu, he was nonetheless persecuted by his father. Although Devaki, the mother of Krishna, was sister of Kamsa, she and her husband Vasudeva were persecuted only because Krishna was to be born of them. So Lord Krishna appeared primarily to deliver Devaki rather than kill Kamsa, but both were performed simultaneously. Therefore, it is said here that to deliver the devotee and vanquish the demon miscreants, the Lord appears in different incarnations. In Chaitanya Charitamrita of Krishnadas Kaviraj, the following verses, Madhya 20, 263-264, summarize these principles of incarnation. Srishti hetu ei murti prapanche avatare, seishvara murti avatara namadhare, mayatita paravyome shabara avasthan, vishve avatari dhore avatara nam. The avatar or incarnation of Godhead descends from kingdom of God for material manifestation. And the particular form of the personality of Godhead who so descends is called an incarnation or avatar. Such incarnations are situated in spiritual world, the kingdom of God. When they descend to the material creation, they assume the name avatar. There are various kinds of avatars, such as Purushavataras, Gunavataras, Leelavataras, Shaktyaveshavataras, Manvantaravataras, and Yugavataras, all appearing on schedule all over the universe. But Lord Krishna is the primeval Lord, the fountainhead of all avataras. Lord Sri Krishna descends for the specific purpose of mitigating the anxieties of pure devotees who are very anxious to see him in the original Vrindavan pastimes. Therefore, the prime purpose of Krishna avatar is to satisfy his unalloyed devotees. The Lord says that he incarnates himself in every millennium. This indicates that he incarnates also in the age of Kali. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, the incarnation in the age of Kali is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who spread the worship of Krishna by Sankirtan movement, congregational chanting of the holy names, and spread Krishna consciousness throughout India. He predicted that this culture of Sankirtan would be broadcast all over the world from town to town and village to village. Lord Chaitanya, as the incarnation of Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is described secretly but not directly in the confidential parts of the revealed scriptures, such as the Upanishads, Mahabharata and Bhagavatam. The devotees of Lord Krishna are very much attracted by the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. This avatar of the Lord does not kill miscreants but delivers them by his causeless mercy. So, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about different kinds of incarnations. And so, we learn the word avatar. It's just not born of some movie studios and wherein some animated stuff is called avatar. But avatar is actually the Lord who lives in spiritual world and who descends to this material world. He has a fixed schedule, a fixed mission of his incarnations. And to touch briefly, the Purusha avatars are the different avatars like Lord Vishnu. They are Purusha avataras. And then Guna avataras are like Brahma and Shiva, who are maintenance of more of passion and maintenance of ignorance. And Leela avataras are Lord Ramchandra and Krishna. Krishna is also a Leela avatar and a Yuga avatar, because it was a simultaneous time for both to appear. And Shakti Avesh avataras are specially empowered incarnations of Sri Krishna. And then Manvantara avataras are they descend in the specific Manu periods. And then Yuga avataras are every Yuga. So this is a brief summary, and of course we have an extensive description in Bhagavatam of different avataras. You should realize one thing, that the very important point Srila Prabhupada makes here is that Krishna comes, killing of demons is not a big deal. Because even in the day of age, the laws of karma which are enacted by Krishna and which are very difficult to overcome take care of demons. And there are no demons who are so big that they can surpass the laws of God. It may appear that they are very powerful. You can take, like in the modern world, dictators who were ruthless and who killed millions of people who had that power. But ultimately, they just got vanquished in a matter of time. Their power was there for a few decades at the most. And then they are dying. They have the laws of nature, they take precedence and they get their due punishment. So no demon is so powerful that he can exceed the potency of God. But Krishna comes especially to appease his pure devotees. Now, it is said in Nectar of Devotion that pure devotional service is such an exalted platform that it derides a concept of liberation. That you know, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, these are the four goals of Vedas. But love of Godhead or prema is the panchama purusharta or the fifth purusharta or the highest purusharta. In that state, the devotee says that, I do not want liberation. Liberation seems to be some sort of abhorrent thing. Why? Because there is no... It's a selfish purpose. Liberation means I need to get out of this material world. I'm suffering, I get out, I'll serve God. Great, there ends the matter. But here, in the process of devotional service, where there is an exchange of rasa between the devotee and the Lord, and that exchange of rasa, in whatever form it may be, gives the devotee such highest bliss, such joy and such satisfaction, the devotee doesn't care where he is. Narayana para sarve nakutaschana vibhyati. It is said in Bhagavatam that the devotees of Narayana, pure devotees, they are never afraid of. Afraid of what? Swarga is hell of heavenly planets, Naraka is hellish planets, and Apavarga, liberation. Even in that three, even if they are placed in either of the positions, they don't care. That's a powerful statement from Bhagavatam. That liberation which people are seeking for, the devotees, they say, you know, okay, I am in hell. So what? I am not afraid. I am chanting the names of God. I am having that connection with the Lord. So the Lord, he says, okay, you are staying in the material world, but you are my pure devotee. If you don't want to come to me, I will come to you. That is the nature of Krishna. The best example, a reasonably close example, is that Haridas Thakur was born in a Muslim family. And the social customs in those days was, because of his birth, he was not allowed to go into the temple of Lord Jagannath. And so was the case of Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami, because they were employees of a Muslim king. And they didn't want to disturb the social custom by actually trying to go into the Jagannath temple. But the Lord Jagannath, who is none other than Supreme Person, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every day he would come and meet them. Every single day he would come and give his darshan to Haridas Thakur and Sanatan Goswami, whenever Sanatan Goswami was there in Jagannath Puri, of course. So this is the nature of Krishna, that when he appears in this material world, he comes for the primary purpose of appeasing his pure devotees and to satisfying their desires. The other example can be taken from scriptures, which Vaisheshi Prabhu was also mentioning in his class, was that the gopis of Vrindavan, amongst them were Munichari gopis. The Munichari gopis were the sages of Dandakaranya forest. And Lord Ram, when he was exiled, he went to Dandakaranya forest. And the munis, they came out of the trance and they saw this beautiful, all-enchanting, attractive form of that Lord Ram. He was beautiful in his bodily construction. He was having a color like Durva grass. He was carrying a bow. He was very peaceful, had beautiful eyes, perfect features. And suddenly, after seeing the form of the Lord, their desire emerged that they wanted to serve the Lord as a paramour, as a lover. And the Lord said, you know, wait, I am Lord Ram in this lifetime and I have taken ekapatni vrat. You know, I can't have more than one wife and I can't have more relationship with anybody other than my wife. Wait, next time when I come as Sri Krishna, then I'll fulfill all your desires. And all these sages of the Dandakaranya forest, the Manichari gopis, took birth in land of Braj, and Krishna came there so that he could satisfy their devotees. One should understand that in some cases, when one is not completely reached perfection of devotional service, one cannot see Krishna directly. There needs to be still more training in this material world itself before one can directly go back home to Golok Vrindavan. And Krishna appears during that time when his earthly leelas takes place to give further training to those devotees who are ready to go back. So there are so many reasons why Krishna appears. But the primary purpose is just for the interaction of his devotees. And in fact, it is said that all the killing of demons and other things happen of the Vasudeva expansion of Lord Krishna. Krishna doesn't directly even kill those demons. So this is the nature of Lord when he appears. It is primarily to give love to his devotees. Krishna says that in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vishnu says to Durvas Muni that the sadhus, they are in my heart. And that's all they know. The sadhus are there in my heart and I only know them and they only know me. Beyond this, we don't know anything else. Sadhava mayam mam. This is there in Bhagavatam. So that's a very sweet relationship, very transcendental relationship between the Lord and his devotees. And that which kind of calls the Lord to come to his devotee. And that is the powerful nature of the love of Godhead, is that it binds Sri Krishna to the wishes of his devotees. And Krishna is more than happy to become bound or submitted to the love of his devotees. And to exchange that love, he comes into this material world. There are other purposes. So Krishna's appearance is so great that one appearance, he will do unlimited things at the same time. Simultaneously, they are taken care of. Like the demons are... Because it's said in Srimad Bhagavatam... Oh, okay, we should stop. 2 minutes, last 2 minutes. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Queen Kunti says that, you know, there are so many reasons why you came. That the family of Yadu prayed, sincerely they prayed, please appear in your family, therefore you came. Lord Brahmaji prayed for you, therefore you came. You came so that the demons on the earth who were maintaining large families, you had to destroy them, therefore you came. That is true. All the secondary reasons are true. But as Prabhupada points, the primary reason is the exchange of rasa. That is why the Lord appears. Yes, Prabhuji.
So what happened 5,000 years ago?
Yes.
Or living entities who directly experienced it had the privilege, if you will, to be there to experience that rasa. If you look at now the time of Kali Yuga, it has been so many years, and we can go back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is 500 years. There may be very much a need for all of this, especially now when things are very bad. But then we have to fall back upon the past rasas of the Lord, the pastimes that are in scriptures and what we know from his archa vigraha form and all that. That's what the devotees have to settle upon. Correct? Would Srila Prabhupada also say that we have to just settle upon the past pastimes and rasas?
That's partially true. Srila Prabhupada said in many places in his writings that if one is sincere and serious, then they can see Krishna face to face in this very lifetime. So when we fall back on the past, is that we follow the footsteps of the previous acharyas so that we become purified of all our material contamination and come to such a stage that we can see Krishna face to face even in this lifetime. In what way that happens is entirely up to him. But Srila Prabhupada says, if one is serious, you can see Krishna in this lifetime. So, we pray. Thank you. Any questions, any comments? I'm sorry, I'm a little late. I think we have Aarti now.
That's right, yes. And if there are no more questions for Srivas Prabhu...
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Srivas Prabhu ki.
Gaur Bhakta Vrind ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Janmashtami Maha Mahotsav ki jai.
Gaur Prema.
Nitai Gaur Premanande.